Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is You, the Owner's Manual, segment 903B of You, the Owner's Manual podcast. Thanks for listening. We have a wonderful guest for you, just like we did last week, Genius Foods last week. This week, Dr. Renee Joy Dufault, D-U-F-A-U-L-T. I guess it's French. She'll have to tell us. Unsafe at Any Meal, a spectacular book. What the FDA does not want you to know about the foods you eat. She was an investigator at the FDA, worked at the Environmental Protection Agency as well, and is really the one who uncovered the mercury in high fructose corn syrup and in the heavy metals and some other foods. All due, well, we'll let her tell you what it's all due to. Dr. Renee Dufault, thank you, Dufault. I'm never going to get it right, so let me just say it's Unsafe at Any Meal, and the website is foodingredient.info. Thanks very much for coming on.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, tell me about what the cause of the mercury in high fructose corn syrup is, for example.
Well, back in 2009, when our first publication came out, we thought that it just came from the use of mercury cell chloralkali chemicals in the corn syrup manufacturing process. And that was all that we knew, and we had were able to determine that. But since that time, since I retired and have been following up the research as an independent researcher, we have found that it also is added directly to the cornstarch. Mercuric chloride compound is added to the cornstarch at the front end of the process. So there's more than one way. They do it to prevent starch degrading enzymes that are produced by bacteria. So in order
but they
to,
must
to,
know it adds mercury, which is a brain toxin, right?
I do believe they know. And, you know, I mean, all I can say is that it's all about shelf life, product shelf life. And so if you have a little bit of mercury residue in your product, whether it's from chlorine that's used to bleach flour or residue in food colors, then that is going to enhance the shelf life of the product. So, for example, if you buy bleached flour and you keep it on your shelf, it's going to stay good for a long time, you know, not only because of the trace mercury, but there's also pesticide residues. But if you buy organic flour that it's not allowed to have pesticides or bleach, and there's no mercury in there, then you have to keep it in the refrigerator in a closed plastic bag in order to keep it fresh. Otherwise, you're going to have mold growing. So a little bit of toxic metal or substance is going to keep that product on the shelf for a lot longer, because things that kill bacteria and mold also, those are single cells, and those elements that kill single cells, they are also bad for us because we're made up of lots of single cells that, you know, join together to create tissues and organs.
Now, how bad is it for us? In other words, if you ate bleached flour every day, would you get enough mercury? If that's all you ate, let's just clear it. And so I'm going to ask you about a bunch of different foods since you're the expert on this. If you ate, let's just say, half a loaf of bread a day that was with bleached flour, would this contribute enough mercury to your brain to cause a problem?
I believe so. We actually conducted a clinical trial on college students in Montana, and we had them over 10 weeks' time reduce their intake of heavily processed foods and increase their intake of whole, healthy, and organic foods. And we were able to measure their inorganic mercury levels in their blood at the front end of the study and then again at the end. And their inorganic mercury levels went way down. And so we were able to see that fluctuation. So the more processed foods you eat that are made with, you know, like, say, bleach flour or other, you know, chemicals that are known to contain mercury, then you're going to have higher levels of mercury in your blood, and that blood is going to be carried, you know, to your brain eventually.
So and does the level that you reach in your brain, first of all, let's go, what's the difference between inorganic and organic mercury? And we'll come to some other foods. I don't want to stay on this, but this is mainly in processed foods we're talking about now, but we're going to get to some unprocessed foods in a few minutes. But let's talk about processed foods, and let's talk about the difference between organic mercury and inorganic mercury. What's the difference?
Well, the only difference is that there's a methyl group attached to the organic mercury. So there's a carbon and three hydrogens, and that's a methyl molecule, if you will. And that's attached to the inorganic mercury, which is the metal, Hg. And that creates an organic compound. And so you can have there's different organic mercury compounds, and then there's different inorganic mercury compounds that don't have any carbon.
And is the organic or the inorganic more dangerous to us, or does it not make a difference?
It depends on the system or the organ you're talking about, because, you know, different toxic substances have different target organs. So, inorganic mercury is very dangerous for, say, pregnant women. You know, if they're having inorganic mercury residues from the processed foods and they're not eating a healthy diet, then they're going to be more prone to, to diabetes. And as we showed, well, actually, I didn't mention this, but in our clinical trial, we showed that there was a direct correlation between inorganic blood mercury levels and glucose in the blood. So the more inorganic mercury level, the more glucose you have in your blood. And we actually looked at NHANES data and saw that same exact relationship with a huge data set. So basically, the more processed foods you eat, the less whole healthy foods, because you need whole healthy foods to excrete these things, pesticides and heavy metals. But if you're just eating the average, standard American diet, then your chances of having gestational diabetes or a child with autism or passing on, say you develop insulin resistance, and you can pass that metabolism on to your kid.
And let's talk a little bit about there are some non-processed, so we're condemning processed foods, if you will, and we'll come back to that in a bit. But when you talk about whole foods, or you say whole healthy foods, and there are foods such as rice that have been grown in fields where mercury or arsenic was used as the pesticide, and even though they're whole, they pick
right.
up that
There's
pesticide.
Gonna have residue. Yes, exactly. And so you have to be really careful where you buy your food, because wherever the crops are growing, that they're going to be growing in the land, and whatever the prior use was for that land. You know, you don't want to put in a farm on an old hazardous waste site. So you're going to have contamination if that land had a prior use that was, contaminated, that caused contamination. But at the same time, whenever pesticides are used, like say lead arsenate was used for years on apple orchards and so forth, then you're going to find have high levels of lead in the soil. So prior land use is really important for the land. When, like say, if you want to put in a summer garden or even winter, you want to make sure your soil is as clean as it can get. And because you're always going to be at risk, depending on where you get your food and what the practices are of the farmers who use that land.
We're talking with Dr. Renee Dufault, D-U-F-A-U-L-T. The website is foodingredient.info, not a .com, it's .info. It's a nonprofit website, and she has written this book, Unsafe at Any Meal, former FDA investigator as well as employee at the EPA. Now, Renee, let's go, and I'm going to talk a little bit about why the difference between the FDA and the USDA and why they have let us down. So let's first talk about what's the difference on who's got regulation power, the USDA, the FDA, who else has it on our food, and which foods do they have it on?
Okay, so the EPA regulates pesticides. So EPA has a pesticide regulation program, and they determine what pesticides are safe to use and enforce whatever the laws are. So then you have the USDA, and they keep track of all the food that Americans eat, the commodities, and they also keep track of pesticide residues, which is great because then we can track our exposures. You know, I mean, you can estimate. And then FDA is primarily responsible for how food packaging is labeled. So food packaging, labels, that's what FDA is involved with. With respect to how food ingredients are created or their safety or whatever, though, that is is the responsibility of the manufacturers. So if they want to, FDA has left that to the manufacturers to determine the safety of a food ingredient for many, many years. It's always been that way. And prior to FDA, which was in 1906, I believe, is when the agency was started, we had U.S. Pharmacopoeia, which was way in the early 1800s. And so they're still around. They were located across from headquarters when I worked at FDA. And they are like a trade manufacturer for pharmaceutical companies. And now they're in charge of food ingredients, too. And they provide the monographs and the specs, if you will, for different compounds that might be used in food or drugs.
So,
and they say it's safer.
But what the thesis of this book, as I read it and read it, is that our food is not really safe. So how did these three organizations let us down? Is the EPA and is the EPA letting us down even more with its lack or its avoidance of regulation or its reducing regulations now? The EPA has pesticides. The USDA keeps track of the commodities and pesticide residues. The FDA is the labeling of food. But the FDA is the only one I've seen that says to food manufacturers, hey, cut it out.
Yeah, they do the best they can. You know, sometimes there's a lot of labels out there that are improper. And FDA has, they've always done the best they could with the resources they had. But the thing that's impacting all of these agencies are politics. It's always been politics. And, for example, the...
So it isn't just now. It's always been for our existence politics.
Oh, yeah. It's always been. Just always. It's always been a factor in our everything. It's time that the American... when we became a government, U.S. government, there were always powers that be. And then there were the industrials that came in. And if you look back into... You know, follow the money. You follow the groups that got into pharmacopoeia early on. I mean, there were basically snake oil salesmen initially before there were cars, and they'd go from town to town in covered wagons. And so all of those elements, if you will, are at play even today, to be honest with you. And it is what it is. We live in a free market society. And so, we don't have the power here, you know, as far as the quality of our food that other countries have that have a different system. For example, in Europe, they now require certain food products with certain food colors to be labeled with a warning. It has to say may have an adverse effect on activity and attention in children. So you can't even use some food colors in the European Union that without having to put that label on your packaging. So we have the same food colors here, but we don't have any warning label to our parents.
Now, I don't know that a label makes a difference as much as, in other words, what I hear you saying, and is there are even whole foods, such as an apple, could have had a lead arsenic pesticide in the old days, and now still can have a pesticide that is fairly not innocuous, but fairly hazardous. Is that correct? Am I hearing you right?
That is correct. And the thing about the USDA pesticide monitoring program is they only monitor for certain things. And they only monitor certain commodities each year. Some come out like wheat. They didn't do pesticide residues on wheat for like 8 or 9 years, you know. So they choose certain grains periodically, and they'll go out and during a given year and collect samples. And when they do analyze for residues, they check specific compounds. And so they might decide at some point, well, we're not going to check for this or that compound because we don't think it's an issue anymore. So, for example, chlorpyrifos, which was a really nasty organophosphate, which it leads to neurodevelopmental effects. We all agree. Nobody disagrees. The EPA was getting ready to ban that, and then we had an election, and now that's off the table. And so, you know, and that was after 15 years of pushing by consumer groups to get it off the market. And so now, you know, there are some states who've gone ahead and decided to ban it because they, and, you know, hopefully they'll be successful. It's, you know, like Hawaii, we've banned it here. And it'll be a transition to ban that.
So why has how have Hawaii and California been more effective at this as I read it? And as I understand it, we don't have even country of origin on most food products now. Is that a problem, or are the people who told me that's a problem not kept up?
No, I think it's a problem. It continues to be a problem. And so really the consumer just needs to be really savvy and educate themselves. And, you know, that's why I wrote this book and why we have our free online tutorial to go with it. And
so the book is called, me repeat that again, give you at least the plug, because it deserves it. It's a wonderful book, Unsafe at Any Meal, What the FDA Does Not Want You to Know About the Foods You Eat, by Dr. Renee Joy Dufault, D-U-F-A-U-L-T. Excuse me. And the website is foodingredient.info, and that's where you can find the free tutorial.
Healthy
is that
diet
correct?
Tutorial. Correct.
The book is Unsafe at Any Meal. It's actually interesting book. It'll scare the living pizza out of you, which hopefully it already didn't get in you, but it'll scare that out of you, if you will. And a wonderful picture on the cover, which is probably why I said pizza, because it's got a pizza at the top of the plate pyramid that she's got on the cover of the book, Dr. Renee Joy Dufault. Dr. Dufault, D-U-F-A-U-L-T. Dr. Dufault, any last words before unfortunately, we're limited by time, but this is a wonderful, at least I consider this a wonderful interview from you. Thank you very much, and a wonderful book. Tell us more about it, would you? Is there any last words I should part to the audience?
Well, the last words I can say is that if you want to be healthy, if you want to have a long lifespan, if you're young and you want to have a healthy baby, then you need to clean up your diet. You need to educate yourself. It's up to you to do it, because we have a lot of new information out there, like, you know, how what we eat determines how our genes behave and so on. And we know more about the contaminants in the food supply than we've ever known. So we know what causes Western disease. And in order to get healthy, stay healthy, then you've got to educate yourself. So I encourage everyone to do that and to eat responsibly.
And so thanks very much. You can find more about it at Dr. Renee Joy Dufault. And may we influence, and may you influence the FDA, USDA, and EPA commissioners, or whatever, secretaries or cabinet members at that level, to change and make the food safer for all of us. Maybe that's why we're seeing the rise in ALS. Maybe this is why we're seeing the rise in dementia rates. Maybe this is why we're seeing the rise and the increase in autism rates. And maybe something could be done about all of those. Thanks very much, Dr. Dufault. Again, foodingredient.info, Unsafe at Any Meal is the name of the book. Ben, thanks for great engineering. Remember, tune in. If you didn't download last week, it's Genius Foods by Max Lugavere. The Week Before, Johanna Beyer, When Your Child Is Sick. A new, both News of the Week and What It Means to You, released every Tuesday, and a new guest. Exciting and interesting, although probably not as scary as this week's every week. Thanks again.